Hello, I'm Rachel Richards and welcome to Teenagers Untangled, the audio hug where we use research by experts and our own experience to discuss everything and anything to do with parenting teenagers.
Hi, I'm Susie Asley, mindfulness coach, mindful therapist, musician and mother of three teenagers, two of them are twins.
As a parenting coach, I've seen the transformative power of listening to how other parents work. We can feel supported, get fresh ideas, and even if we disagree, it helps us to think more clearly about the way we parent and why. So, welcome, pull up a chair, and let's begin. Now, Susie, any annual Thanksgiving time, such as Christmas, it's a chance to come together, but it can also be very stressful, can't it?
Oh, it can be, yeah, it can be. Expectations.
Well, we'll discuss tips for getting along in this episode. But first, what's your golden nugget for this week?
Well, my golden nugget is Christmas themed. I thought that was appropriate. And for a few years, my daughter and I have done what we call a hug advent calendar, which is, it's
fantastic.
So cool. So pretty basically what you do is on day one, you hug for 1 second, day two, 2 seconds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we are up to, what's the date today? It's the 9th, I think.
The 9th.
So we did a 9 second hug this morning. And so what happens is when you hug for a certain amount of time, I can't remember the exact statistics, you release chemicals which make you feel nice. So we haven't been as good this year. We keep forgetting. So we did the 9 second hug this morning and it's just really lovely way of connecting in the morning. And we always say by the time we get to the 24th, oh, can we do this in January?
Oh,
it's
so
really
sweet.
Lovely. The boys look at us like, what are you doing?
I love that. You know, one thing I put in place when my kids were young is when they come down in the morning, they have to hug me.
Oh, okay.
And when I say have to, it's not that they don't want to. Mm. I just say, hey, where's my hug? And we just fold into each other and hug for however long we want to.
Oh,
it's
lovely.
A really special, it's important. And I feel like I haven't kind of connected with
them.
Yeah,
no, it's really lovely. I have two huggers and one non-hugger.
And that's the thing, you can't force it.
Who gives me one of those, you know, pat on the back kind of awkward things. So, yeah.
I love it. So my golden nugget actually came from listening to Bear Grylls, who's chief scout around the world. He's an adventurer, most fascinating guy. And he mentioned during an interview, dib, dib, dib. Now, dib, dib, dib is the motto of the Boy Scouts. And I never really understood what it was. It's an acronym. And the acronym is Do Your Best. And the reason I think it's so useful, or it really struck home, was because when I was at work in my first job, every time I went out to a negotiation or a presentation, everyone would shout, hey, Rachel, be the best, be the best. And I think, oh, yeah, I've got to be the best, I've got to be the best. And I'd be really nervous. And the thing about do your best is that it's taking a phrase like that, which is a kind of rallying cry, and giving our teenagers something that's much more honest, which is not be, it's do.
Yes.
Do. You can't be, you know, when you do things and they don't work, it doesn't matter. You tried, now try again. And it's not someone else's best, it's your best.
Yeah, and the best, that's impossible.
And the best, and that's the point, because this whole kind of idea that there is some best out there gets bandied around all the time. It makes mothers feel really insecure, and we get it stressed because we think somebody else is doing it better than us. And then our teenagers feel the same way.
Yeah.
The truth is, it's your best.
Yeah.
Do your best. I love it.
Yeah, brilliant. That's lovely. Love it.
Right. So on that note, do your best at Christmas to get on with your family. We're all aware that the time spent together as family at Christmas is marketed as magical, loving, joyous. The reality can be stress, arguments and massive levels of disappointment, right?
Yeah.
One of the interesting points I read was it was using the work of Daniel Kahneman. Now, Daniel Kahneman is an award-winning economist, but he wrote a book called Thinking Fast and Slow, and he talks about the way our brains work. And we have track one and we have track two. Track one is when we automate things. So when you drive a car, you're using, well, it's system. He calls it system one. So system one is just for anything where you're not thinking.
So autopilot.
It's autopilot. System two is when you actually stop to think and try and solve a problem. Mm. So if I said to you 35 times five, you would probably pause. You'd stop walking if you were walking. You'd look up to the left because that's how you access that part of the brain. And then you'd try and solve the problem. This is system two.
Yeah.
Very often people try and solve system two problems by using system one.
Yeah.
Because they're given an automatic response.
Brilliant. I love it. It's like in mindfulness, the terminology would be reactive autopilot versus, you know, pausing and choosing your response.
Love it. And the reason I brought this up is because when we spend time with our family, guess which system we mostly use?
Ooh. I wonder.
It's system one. So we go back at Christmas, and particularly something like Christmas or a big event, we load shed because there's so much going on that you sort of, so it accentuates that desire to be on system one.
Yeah. And, you know, that reminds me of the classic quote, which I love. It's I think it's Ram Dass, spiritual guy, and it is, if you think you're enlightened, try spending a week with your family.
Ah, brilliant. Brilliant.
So we can all be super enlightened, super amazing, and then we go back to our nuclear sort of core family and get massively triggered.
Yes, triggered, and also just resorting to behavior that we're not even conscious of. I've seen that with my husband when he goes back to his mother's house, sits down on the chair, starts reading the newspaper, she's running around him making cups of tea, and he's back where he was when he was a young man.
Yeah, so actually these kinds of places are opportunities, if we want them to be,
yes,
to really look at, you know, I'm getting triggered, what's that about, and unpack it after Christmas, maybe not in the middle of Christmas Day.
Well, this is it,
but it's so interesting. It's like, it's if you that's where your triggers come up the most.
And don't use Christmas, we're not suggesting you use Christmas to solve your family problems, because it's not going to happen, all right?
Afterwards. Log it afterwards, and think about it afterwards.
Or before. So this is what my suggestion is, that you will subconsciously be running information through your head that comes from previous family encounters. So you will have a history. Some of it will be unpleasant. Some of it will be fantastic. And if you have a mostly fantastic narrative, you're going to be really looking forward to Christmas without too much in the way of expectations that it's got to be perfect. If it has been problematic in the past, you're going to be anxious. You're going to be anxious about whether some of these things will happen. So being aware of what's going on subconsciously by using system two can help you.
Yeah, it can help you make better choices in the moment and take care of yourself.
Just preparing for it. So you mentioned it, raised expectations. Yeah. I mean, you know, thanks to Instagram advertising, very often people feel like it should be one way and then their Christmas Day is completely inadequate. Yeah.
And I think especially with teenagers, you know, that's, you know, what we're about here, is that we maybe, you know, maybe our teenagers normally spend loads and loads of time in their room, and maybe we don't have masses of conversations. Maybe we do, but that could be the case. You know, they're busy doing stuff. And then sometimes suddenly we're like, oh, it's Christmas Day, you have to be with us all day. And you know, make
personality transplants.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, hang on a minute. Just have a moment to think. And if that's what you want, then you set those expectations really high. They might happen, but they might not. So an awareness of that, you know, you can then instead go, well, what's the most important thing to me today? And that could be, I don't know, having dinner together. It could be having a cup of tea together. It could be going for a walk. You know, you pick one thing and then everything else is a bonus.
Yes, I love that.
Instead of everything else is a crashing disappointment that ends in a fight.
Yeah.
Come out of your room. Get off
your
phone.
But also thinking about that maybe beforehand and saying, okay, the most important thing is, and then saying to a teenager, so for me, this is really important. What about you? What would really make Christmas for you?
Yes.
Because they've gone from, as we've said in our previous episode, you know, the magic of Christmas and poppers, and then suddenly all that's gone, and they've basically seen the unboxing on YouTube, and they're trying to decide whether they're going to get what they want or not.
And they hate turkey.
So, and also reaching out to the families where there's just one child, you know, this can feel like, wow, you know, when I've seen parents saying there's, you know, there's just me and my child, my teenager. I don't even know how to do this because there's no modelling of it.
No, there are a million ways to do Christmas, a million.
Yes. And so stepping back and saying, what do I want?
Yeah.
What would be meaningful and enjoyable for me?
Yeah.
Right. So coming back to this teenager, I mean, the lure of the room, it does become very strong. Yeah. And the
especially
sleeping
if mum is stressing around the kitchen.
Oh, God, who wants to be with
Like, that's the best driver away of teenagers.
I know. And just coming downstairs, opening some presents and then going back to bed. Or I don't know. So teenagers do need sleep. So don't panic if they're staying in their room. Because actually, you think back to the times when you'd be waking up at four.
Yeah.
Because it's quite nice. It's quite nice to get a bit of a sleep in.
Huh? Yeah.
So allow them their space, as you said. Yeah. Give them their time to do what they... Yeah. Maybe they want to meet up with their friends. Maybe they want to FaceTime their friends or they're on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I would interject if they're on Instagram and just say, how is that making you feel?
Yeah.
If you're scrolling through Instagram and seeing all your mates with these pictures that look fairy tale brilliant, maybe it isn't that great for them either.
Yeah. I think it's also okay to go, do you know what? It's really important to me that you have dinner and that you sit and, you know, if that is your thing that is important, you know, that you stay, you don't just bolt your food and run away. But we stay and maybe we play a game. That's really important to me and I'd really like you to do it and have that, like you say, conversation beforehand. How do you feel about that? What would be important to you today? And I'd happily do that with you. Yeah. So you have that in place. I think it's okay to nudge and have some expectations.
I completely agree.
And not just say, right, well, you can do what you like. I mean, it's a family thing, isn't it?
Yes. And actually, sometimes it can end up with everybody having a great time. I mean, I've nudged my mother-in-law before and she got involved in a game she probably didn't want to play and then loved it.
And then it's really
fun. So it's sometimes the resistance isn't actually real. No. It's just they just need getting over that.
Yes. Bribe them with a mince pie.
Bribe them. Bacon, as you said.
Bacon, yeah.
So coming back to this system too and thinking ahead of time so that we can help ourselves with this, how do we do it? So one of them is setting boundaries. Like you say, actually, so for example, if your family members always expect you to do something and you think, God, I've been doing that for years, I don't want to do that. Mm. Just say, right, you're doing the potatoes this year. You're doing the, you know, just try and say, or what would you like to do? Yeah. Get, think about what matters to you. And if you don't like somebody using a name, the nickname they've been using since you were a kid, just say.
Yeah, yeah.
So this Christmas, you know, your gift to me, I don't really care what you buy me. You can just stop calling me Widget. Just whatever.
Yeah. And also, as with boundaries, it's a bit of a tangent really, but, you know, I think sometimes we think if we say something once, then everyone will go, oh, okay, great.
And no, this is family. No,
many times, but just do it in a nice way. Repeating.
Yes. And also, if you end up feeling like people are quite ungrateful, model it.
Yeah.
Model gratitude, you know, and you won't always get it back.
Yeah.
Of course, but try it.
Yeah. And maybe try and be, I think one of the biggest gifts I think of not being able to be with my kids every Christmas, of course I would rather that I was with them every Christmas, but they're with their dad really, is kind of taking the Christmas out of Christmas, if that makes any sense. It's just a day.
Yeah.
So when I don't have my kids, it's just a day. I mean, I celebrate it. I'll be with my family. I'll now be with my partner. But, you know, we just pile so much into it. Mm. It's literally just a day. What is important to you is, you know, is just having a box of chocolates and watching a movie. What you want to do, then do that. We build it up in a really crazy way, and then when we don't get it to be how we want, we can feel, you know, a loss of angst and a loss
yes
of
and
sadness.
Again, that's system one talking, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if we get into the system two, then we start thinking, okay, why am I even thinking this?
Yeah.
Why does it matter so much?
Yeah.
Money worries. And this is a massive one. A lot of people feel huge pressure to spend, to make it the perfect day. It's just not worth getting into debt for.
No.
So and as I always say, you could sit in the middle of a field with people you love and have the best time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's all about connection.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, having that talk beforehand.
Having the talk beforehand. You don't have to get involved in the family drama. So you know what sort of things happen with your family. What are those controversial topics? We know what triggers the different members of our family. Try and steer clear. There are things you can do. For example, have safe conversations ready if you start going into dodgy water.
Yeah.
You can have games ready. You can suggest a walk. Walks are great. And you can also even have a trigger. So you can say to people, you know, somebody who's on your side, somebody in the family, would just say, oh, this really upsets me. Mm. You know, I'm going to use this word and then we need to move on. We need to do something else.
Yeah.
Or you can just have, you could be as honest as having a card that you lift up and say, right, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, brilliant. I remember having that conversation with my dad years ago, like, there because he liked discussing particular political subjects with me, and because I gave him punches back, verbal. And it was just annoying after a while. So I just said, I'm not going to talk about that or that or that with you. And he would keep trying. And I said, remember, we're not talking about that. And actually, one of my kids the other day noticed, they said, yeah, that topic, a topic came up, and suddenly we weren't talking about it. Mum, how do you do that?
Wonderful.
It's a skill. Yes. You can hear something coming up and you can divert, but you can do it consciously and you can do it with grace so nobody notices.
Yeah. And accepting your family as they are. Yeah. So yes, this, you know, that's the annoying uncle who drinks too much, and you're not going to suddenly make them change.
No.
You can either say, right, we're not going to include them in this particular thing, or you think, what do I actually like about them? Again, modelling that with your teenagers is a really good skill.
Yeah, modelling tolerance.
And be mindful of old patterns in yourself.
Yeah.
So are you the person who always stomps upstairs because of such and such, and you've done that ever since you were a kid? Are you the person who gets up after lunch and goes and has a nap instead of actually helping with it? What do you do?
Yeah, I'm going to start doing that.
and if there is an old pattern, and don't do it. Mm. And it can be very disruptive. And the family can try and lure you. If you're the person who always throws the Monopoly board, tips the Monopoly board because you're cross about something, and everyone's like, oh, we're waiting for that.
Yeah.
Try and restrain yourself from it. And it's a bit of a disruptor.
Yeah, you're rocking the boat.
Yes. We came up with this idea of family bingo. So, for example, in my book club, we all know how someone's going to react to certain books. So I'll be reading a book and I think, oh, I know how Sally's going to react to this. And it's the same with your family. So if you know there are certain things they always do, you can even have a little joke about it and say, oh, when they say this, that's bingo.
I love that. I think that's so funny. I'm going to use that. Thank you.
And it just turns our little, we've all got these little tics, these things we do that are really annoying to other people. Yeah. And just make it funny.
Do you make cards, or do you just do it in your head?
We do it in our heads. It could be a bit painful. Well, it depends on how offended the person would be when you do it. But it's there are certain tropes that constantly come up.
Yeah,
which, you know,
that's really funny.
It's who we are, right?
Yeah,
and that's only your family can do that because they know all that stuff about you.
Yeah. Or little kind of funny tics that you have.
Exactly. So, you know, talk to your partner or anybody in the family. And, if you're going to have tensions, be honest about it beforehand and just say, you know, we usually get on really well, but I remembered last time I always get a bit stressed. Here's why.
Yes.
Don't take it personally.
Yeah, that's really
have that
lovely
conversation beforehand.
Yes, I love that.
Limit your contact. And my point about that is, let's say you're all living in the same house together for 5 hours, 2 days, 5 days. I mean, how long is this going on for?
Yeah.
I don't know how long your Christmases are, or you're going from one house to the next. You know, there are various ways you can slice this one. But you don't have to all be in the same room at the same time.
No.
And that's why teenagers are so smart to go up to their room.
Yes, they do. They're regulating.
Feel free to go up and have a bath if you want, or get out of it. But also just get outdoors, go for a walk, play games. And if people fight over the TV, just find other things that you could. And what we found is that there are certain people who don't want to do things. So, you know, one member of family does not want to sit down and watch a film. That's absolutely fine. So we do the film watching much later in the day.
Yeah.
Because you can do that now.
Yeah. And we don't have to explain. I think we often feel we have to explain, I'm going to go out for a walk because I feel, just go.
Just go. Just say, popping out.
We don't have to justify any of it.
Absolutely. And coming back to the teenager, they should feel comfortable. If they want to retire to the room, don't say, where are you going? Unless it's something you've agreed beforehand, just give them their space.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that for my family, the reason we really, really, really love Christmas now is because we've taken all the pressure off. There's, literally nobody's working harder than anybody else. Everybody mucks in.
Yeah.
We wear our pajamas until whatever time, and we play games, and everybody's allowed to be themselves.
Yeah, that's perfect. That sounds really lovely.
Yes.
Yeah, I think in our house, we really appreciate the Christmases we have together because it's only every other one.
And that I love
adds
that.
A different perspective. It's like, I get to have Christmas with you this year. How can we make this lovely?
Yeah. But you don't feel the pressure?
No.
Good.
No.
because that could also feel quite pressured, where you think, oh, they were there last year. Yeah. I need to do it better.
Oh, I see.
I can imagine that being stressful for some families.
Yeah, it could be. Yes. It could be done that way. But I've only got one in every two, so it's got to be amazing. It's like I always use that sentence, so I try and remember, I get to do this.
Yes, I love that. And one last one is drinking the alcohol. Yeah. We often think that when we drink, it's going to relax us more and we'll be happier. But my experience, quite often, it just heightens when people have disagreements. It can make it just harder. So if you think that it's one of those things that might fuel the disagreements, maybe just ease back on the alcohol a little bit and think of other ways that you... And if you've got the drunk in the family who irritates people because some people are teetotal and the other person's the drunk, again, you need to manage expectations.
Yeah,
and
you're not going to suddenly... so much they fall asleep.
Make them fall asleep, exactly. But you're not going to suddenly change them.
No.
I think it's this sense that you come together and you think, oh, this has been irritating me forever.
Let's fix it.
Can I fix it? Yeah. No, you can't.
No, you can't. Accepting us. I think it's a beautiful place to learn boundaries and tolerance. Yeah. We can learn both.
Yes, absolutely. Do you have good memories of Christmas? Are you expecting this year to be fantastic or an absolute turkey? Remember, you are not alone, and make sure you do some of what you enjoy. So, you know, actually you can set aside, if you're the person who's having to run the household, prepare everything, what are you going to do to make yourself feel fantastic?
Yeah.
You know, just sitting in the bath.
And if you're feeling tension, if stuff is difficult, you know, asking that really helpful question is, will this matter 5 years from now? Will I look back on this Christmas and be thinking of that? Or can I just let it go? Does it matter?
If you've enjoyed this episode, then why not help other parents? Tell your friends, tell the school, subscribe to our podcast. And if you could, a bonus, review us. That would be really, really nice. Please. You can also sign up to receive all the latest at our own website, where there's a blog, reviews, links to every episode, and easy ways to contact both of us. That's www.teenagersuntangled.com. And Susie has her own mindfulness website. She's also, you can buy vouchers on that for presents.
You can. Yes. Mindfulness vouchers, all different kinds, teenagers, family, mental ones, all on my website.
So what's the website again?
It is www.amindful-life.co.uk.
That's it for now. Goodbye.
Bye-bye for now.